Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Hello and welcome. My name is Morgana. This is my husband, Devin.
Yes.
Yes. This is an audio. You do want to speak up a bit?
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, yes, I'm here.
Yes. So, interesting calendar times. Oh, before I dive into that, welcome to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. We encourage you to go over at some point to crazysexymidlifelove.com and join our Crazy Sexy family. Download Devin's ebook for free. Women are smarter than men.
Because they are.
As Devin likes to say, and other secrets marriage-minded women need to know. So our background is we are 25 weddings in 20 countries deep into getting married 100 times in 100 countries. And we are in between important anniversaries. We just had the sixth anniversary of our legal wedding, not to be confused with the seventh anniversary of our first wedding. So we're kind of in between the two. I think our legal wedding was May 11th, and our first time getting married to each other was May 23rd, getting very, very close. So,
and by the way, that's important, but I'm going to interrupt because perhaps our producer, I'm noticing that we don't have this full screen thing happening, and maybe we need to change the view. There we go. That's probably what we wanted to be seeing doing.
Tech stuff is not my thing.
That's all right.
For somebody who like has a gazillion websites and podcasts and an online business. So happy anniversary, my love.
Yes, happy anniversary. We actually had a great meal at Roe in
ROE, like baby fish. Our first restaurant meal in 15 months.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Oh my gosh. And it was delicious. And the restaurant, Second Street in Long Beach, gave us a key lime pie to celebrate. They were lovely. It was outdoors. It was romantic. Like, can you remember candlelight dinners? Those of you who have been quarantining all this time, it was really exciting stuff to be in public. Taking the mask off, eating with my husband was a really nice anniversary.
Yeah, it was a good day. And so we've got some stuff, right, to discuss today.
Well, also today is May 19th and the 2-year anniversary of my dad's passing. So it's just a lot of emotions coming up right now. Happy and sad. What is that saying from Lion King for the Wheel of Life? I think there's a Swahili word.
The circle of life?
Yeah, but
Hakuna Matata?
Thank you.
Yeah, that's, I think
Is that just made up?
You know, Hakuna Matata does in fact mean something, but I don't think it means what you want it to mean.
Okay. What does?
What? Hakuna Matata? I don't know, but I don't think it's where you were going.
Okay. Well, yeah, circle of life. I mean, you know, it is a privilege to love somebody enough to grieve their passing. And I think it mattered that my father knew that I was married. He waited. He waited until I married and I was married and happy with somebody he liked and he could trust before he was like willing to shed his mortal coil. It's interesting how I see for some people, death comes out of the blue and it's a big surprise, like for your brother. And then for some people, it really seems like they wait for the perfect moment when they're surrounded by love and and they go in peace, which I think a good death is something to aspire to. On that happy note,
right? Right. Now we've
crazy
started
sexy
off,
here.
Right. Now we're feeling good. So glad that we're into the mortality stream crazy sexiness.
Yeah. Well, we have another fun dinner to go out to on the 23rd.
Right.
A show tonight. What really surprised me is we had, after like the recording stopped, on a recent guest, our guest said to us in surprise, "Wow, you two really like each other." And that surprised me because, yeah, that's kind of the whole point of the show. We really do like each other. It's funny how, you know, human beings, we just start to see what is like a mirror of our experience. So when I was single, everybody was single. When I got happily married, I was suddenly surrounded by an ocean of happily married people that I never knew existed. And the question comes up, and we're going to dive into that. And then we're also going to be talking about, today we're going to be talking about what makes couples stay together. The answer is not what you would expect. Like happily, what makes like relationships last. And then we're also going to be diving into, since we're all kind of middle-aged, what was the topic that you wanted to cover?
Well, we'll get to it when we get to it.
Well, he has a list.
I have a list.
Yeah,
but this
yeah,
time I wrote it down in my book.
Yes,
no, don't touch my book because then it'll be gone and I'll never see it.
Until I find it for you.
That's right. But I found it. It's right here in my hot hands.
Well, yeah. Which,
but I have a list.
Here's the law of lists. If you haven't been with us long, Devin will make a great list. We will get through one or one half of one item on the list. And then he will lose the list. And then we will spend an episode talking about the lost list. Oh, the excitement ahead. So
I have a list. And I wrote
look
it in
how
a
proud
special
he is.
Book.
Look at how
and
proud
I'm
he is.
Keeping it in the book. And I'm not going to move it. I'm going to keep the book with the list.
How do we
in
know the
possession.
List is in the book and it's not just a prop that you're holding up for the camera?
First off, I don't think you're supposed to do this to me. I think you're supposed to be supportive and loving. And I'm sure that probably has much to do with the episode that you have planned for today of how to make a relationship work. One of them would be to support your spouse.
How am I not supportive?
I don't know, by berating me in
I'm
front
not
of all
berating.
Of, our, of
I'm
all these people.
Teasing you because no. I like you.
Yes,
I'm flirting with
all
you.
All right. So are we gonna have a subject or is this
yes, we're gonna start on with what makes relationships last. And we love callers. So if you feel inspired, our phone number here is 888-627-6008. If you have anything to ask about, if you're having a challenge in your relationship, if you have a story about relationship, if you just have a question or a comment about what we're talking about, do not be afraid of interrupting. Your call will go directly to our producer and our producer will let us know. So you don't have to worry about ending the flow. We're all grown-ups here. We can handle it. But I just think the show is so much more fun and interesting when it turns into a conversation. But if not, Devin and I will just keep talking. So the topic, and by the way, your call doesn't have to be about the topic. Just we want to talk about midlife love. So the topic for today is what makes relationships last? What's the difference between the relationships that last and that don't? So Devin, you know the statistics about Dr. John Gottman.
Right.
Right. So tell me, how many areas of challenge does a relationship that break up have?
I don't even think it's areas of challenge. I think what it is unresolved issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that the average couple who breaks up, and we've discussed this a number of times, but I do think it's one of those bears repeating types of points, is that your average couple breaks up over five to seven unresolved issues. And let's just talk about unresolved issues for a minute. An unresolved issue is really anything that you just can't fix. Like somebody's just going to have to simply accept the thing. And by the way, it could be completely different things for each side. In other words, I don't know, she was a pole dancer and he doesn't like it, but she did that 20 years ago, but he still has feelings about it and whatever. And then on the other side, he was a player or whatever. And it doesn't have to be a thing like that. It can be he left the toilet seat up. She doesn't cook. I don't know.
It can be he wants to live in Texas and she wants to live in Maine. He wants to have a baby and she doesn't. It can be really, really big things.
But it could also be small things. Mm-hmm. But the point is that whatever the thing is, somebody's not getting over the thing. Like, in other words, you can't erase the thing, right? And so that's what people break up over. There's like five to seven things. And on the other side of it is that for couples who have lengthy, long-term relationships.
Happy relationships.
Right. There are five to seven unresolved issues. So the question always comes down to, what are you going to do? In other words, there isn't some sort of another list where, oh, there's just no issues. There isn't that list. Well, what do you do when you have zero issues? No, there's always going to be a bunch of things because we're human and we're flawed. And by the time we meet each other, we've already lived a part of a life. And, you know, maybe it's family. I mean, money. I mean, these are just kinds of things that people have issues with. Your mother is always going to be your mother, and then you meet a guy who, you know, has issues with your mother. Well, mom's not changing in most cases, and even if the person drops her, then the issue may become, you made me drop my mother. You know, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It's just, you know, these are things that we have to come to some sort of an understanding over. Otherwise, something's going to break us up.
Just the notion of two different human beings coexisting together sometimes to me is mind-boggling, because I was furious at Devin maybe a couple years ago when I called a girlfriend about it who happens to be a relationship coach. And she sat me down and she said, Morgana, he's not you.
What?
I know. Awful.
Right. By the way, that's one of my seven unresolved issues. She thinks I'm her.
You're just not trying hard enough.
Yeah, no, I'm really.
So
I won't be trying any harder.
There are differences of life experience and worldviews that you just can't switch, and they're gonna land differently for different people. So for example, there may be differences that really should not, maybe it's the wrong person and you shouldn't be together because that difference causes too much pain. And I can see where that could be the case. Devin had a wife before me. Their differences were not the right differences to work out. But Devin's and my differences maybe land a little gentler for us. Some of them are a little more spiky than others, but when I take in the full experience of the human being, Devin is still like the right choice for me. Like and the rest I just have to like self-manage. We had mutual friends, an unmarried couple who split up a few years ago because one was an extrovert and one's an introvert. And that was...
Who's that? Okay. Oh, don't tell me. Don't say it on live. Don't say it on...
So...
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I can say their first names. Nobody would know. Oh, well, that's annoying.
Yes.
Okay, so my pardon, I did not put us on Do Not Disturb. I thought I had. So I'm an introvert. My husband's an extrovert. And it doesn't bother me that he goes out and, you know, I think Saturday night you're having boys' night at a steakhouse.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That we're I will guilt trip you about mercilessly.
All right. Well, we're going to order one of everything. We're ordering one of everything on the menu, and it'll be a very expensive fillets all around. That's
bring me leftovers.
No.
No, I know.
There won't be any.
I know. But here's the thing. I understand that Devin going out and having a boys' night with his friends, or going out and having a meeting with his spiritual group makes him a better partner to me. That's what he needs to be the man he is. So I'm cool with him going out. And I assume you're cool with me being a stick in the mud, recluse, stay at home, shutting.
Am I cool with it, or have I accepted it?
I don't know.
It's a combination of both. Honestly, it's a combination of both. It's what it is. It's just, there are times where I just want to go out. And most of the time when I go out, it's not to party or anything like that. It's really just to meet with friends. It's much more important for me to do that than it is for you, which is fine.
However, if it is important to you, if it's a family event or something momentous, I will be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Yeah.
But that's part of the negotiation.
Yeah.
You know.
Of priorities. So the solution really is not whether there is no conflict or no issues. I think there's a larger picture of, deal breakers and what each person really, really needs for compatibility. I think kindness and respect and mutual admiration and laughter. And Devin and I have a very common appetite for adventure and meeting the world and trying new things. He's also adorable.
Okay, all right.
Super funny. It's just...
By the way...
Yeah? Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say that 5 to 7 things is really sort of the benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to be... Like, if you after a period of dating, discover there's only 5 to 7 things and really not, 40 things, 5 to 7 is not bad. Actually, that's...
And none of your deal breakers.
Right.
No abuse, maybe.
Well, somebody gets to decide for themselves what the deal breakers are.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, abuse.
Violence.
Is bad. That just means somebody needs to go figure it out. On their own.
I would just say that's always a deal breaker, but that's, just my, guidelines to live by. Yeah, 5 to 7. And if they aren't, And things that you can live with. And some of them, I don't think you will know going in. You just kind of find out along the way and then you reevaluate. But I think that ultimately you make a decision that the person and Devin likes to use the word sacred a lot about the relationship is more important. I think that, and this, there's actually a lot of data to back this up. A lot of it just has to do with what you choose to focus on. I think a piece of it is just intentionally deciding to kind of magnify the good stuff. So yeah, maybe I do ramble on a little bit too long about what I like about Devin, but that's also just... kind of why I'm with Devin is because I look at him with rose colored, crazy, sexy, gooey glasses. I have a crush on him at 54 years old.
Think everybody knows that.
I try to keep
I love it,
I try to play it close to the vest.
Yeah,
what
no,
gave it away?
Everything. Everything. I'm grateful. So that all said, so I wanted, you mentioned the word sacred. I bring up the word sacred because, okay, so there is, you know, 7 billion plus people here on the planet that we're all sharing together. And if you're picking one of the 7 billion to go, okay, this is somebody that I'm placing in a higher esteem than anybody else. If you're doing that and you can't call that relationship sacred, then I would have to question why you'd be choosing that person. And it's nothing against the person, and it's nothing against you either. But if it's not really important, why do you think? In other words, my goal is, well, we have this relationship, hopefully it'll last, right, till death do us part. And hopefully we'll both just spontaneously combust at 150 years old at the exact same moment.
During a mutual orgasm, of course.
Okay, right,
like,
yes.
That, like course. That even has to be said.
So all that said, that's the goal for a lot of people. If you're looking to get married, that should be the goal. To raise kids together, that's supposed to be those kinds of things where it's like, hey, this is the long haul sort of thing. If you decide that the relationship isn't sacred and it's not worth the effort for whatever reason, then why be in that relationship? Why go through the trouble? Why get everybody excited about it? Why do any of those things? Keep looking. Find somebody who, where you go, oh my God, I will go to the ends of the earth for this person. And then, by the way, I also think that you have to kind of keep reinvesting it. Like, I think having that feeling one time is great, and having the wedding, great, all those kinds of things. But ultimately, you have to keep reminding yourself, or you have to keep kind of, you keep having to work on it, right? Like, I get people change and grow and evolve and all those other things. But I think if you keep putting the relationship as a top high priority, i.e. sacred, then I think you give your relationship the best shot.
It just occurred to me that that phone call that we got may have been intended to go to the station. So I'm going to repeat the number for the show, 888-627-6008. If you wanted to call in, 888-627-6008. And Devin brought up something really, really important, like all of it was. But during all those years when I was single, trying to figure it out, find my person, find the secret, and I would ask married people who had been married for many decades and really happily, what was the secret? And they all said the same thing, which I found really, really frustrating at the time. But it makes sense, is you have to pick the right person. And you can't make somebody the right person. And we might want to talk about what and look at what makes the right person for you. And I think the nicest thing about it is I was the wrong person for a lot of people. Devin was the wrong person for a lot of people.
For everybody. A whole slew. An endless parade.
Which
of
doesn't.
Wrongness.
Right? But we're the right person for each other, which is like you only need one.
Right. Yeah, no, this is not where you're not trying to win a popularity contest.
No, and in a way it's a...
But again, dating, you can go for the popularity contest then.
Have
go
fun.
Figure out what it is that you even like.
Yeah, have fun. Practice being nice to somebody. Practice letting somebody be nice to you. Get some butterflies. You know, have some romance and crushes and heartbreaks. And I think as we get older, we get better at discerning who is not a right person for the long haul, so that when the right person shows up, it's clear and it's obvious. And we had different ways of figuring that out for ourselves. For me, a lot of it had to do with just feeling really safe with Devin. Safe, but not in a boring way. Safe in a like over the top, happy, crushing, attracted way, but safe is really, really big. Trust. I can respect him. I can see that he's a good man. And those were critical pieces for him being my person. There, I just kept waiting for the red flags. That was another piece. I kept waiting for the red flags. And things that might have been a red flag for somebody else were actually made him better for me. Things that I didn't expect, like him having a daughter. But seeing the way he showed up for his daughter made him a better fit for me. And it's going to be different for everybody. Devin, how did you know that I was the right one for you?
I don't know.
Are you still figuring that one out?
Yeah, no. I'm just trying to avoid launching into the same story that I've launched into 10 different times.
The lion story.
Yeah. So,
okay.
You know, I think it's a process. And I think more importantly than me just kind of sort of saying, hey, here's what I've learned. I mean, I think really what it comes down to is that I started getting a measure of consciousness. Like if you're at home and you don't know what it is that's driving you, great, that's fine. You're reacting to something, right? There's some sort of a thing. And to me, the thing that you're reacting to is like, oh, there's something here. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean you need to marry that person? No, maybe that just means that you need to know them a little bit or learn from that experience of what's driving the two of you. But I think at some point you have to have I just like the word consciousness. So if you're dating somebody and you're wild about them, great, that's fun. That's fun. Enjoy that. Have a great time, whatever that means. But I also think you have to be able to step back a little bit to kind of really evaluate, okay, what do I need to make me thrive? What's going to be the thing that when I think about this person, when I'm with this person, right? Because you're not marrying, I mean, my wife married the cute guy. Great. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, but you're more than that.
No, totally. Totally. But what I'm saying is for somebody who's listening, that yes, you can have that. And that's important stuff. You have to be attracted to the other person. But I also think you have to have sort of like where you back up and you say, okay, well, can I see myself having a kid with this person? Can I see myself sharing a bank account with this person? Can I see myself, you know, sharing a shopping cart with this person? Can I see myself introducing this person to my family and having it be okay? And if my family has all kinds of druthers, what does that mean to me if they don't like this person? Right. These are the things that like they're kind of harder questions. It's not mostly just like my emotional love. Right. That's all great stuff. But you're talking about a big picture, long term game. And so that's kind of really where my head goes in terms of like, well, what do we do? What did I do? So, you know, I certainly had a revelation, and it's great to tell the story about that. But really what was taking place was, I started seriously thinking about, is this the right person to be? Well, you know, is this person to be my wife? Is this person can I introduce to my family? I mean, she'd already met him by then. But, you know, like all of those kinds of things, can I see myself defending her and walking through life's nonsense with in a way? Can, you know, do I want to be on her team? Do we share certain kinds of values that are the glue, right? Or is she just an opposite? An opposite attracts thing. I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. But, you know, sort of that bigger picture thing is, how do we want to move forward with our lives, which is serious business. Sometimes people don't think about their lives in serious, or they're just waiting for stuff to just fall into their laps. And that's great. Maybe you can do that. But I think for these big pictures, what do you want to do with your career? Who do you want to be? How do you want to enter the world? Well, a partnership is exactly that. Again, we're not talking about dating. Date everybody until you figure out what it is that you love and what you want. And I wasn't expecting to go on this sort of mini rant.
Because you have a list. But before we jump into the...
Oops, sorry. I'm just readjusting and I kicked out her earplugs.
So no worries. Yeah, and so, but when you have paired off and you've met your match, and by the way, some of the things that you think are compatible, I think just, you know, couples shift, things happen. People have accidents and setbacks and changes of circumstances. So I think that you also have to just have a really deep, special affection for that human being that is deep enough to carry that choice, carry you through the rough times, because there are rough times.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, and a lot dad of rough, dying, COVID.
All of that, which has nothing to do with the relationship. I mean, other than you're going to have to go through it together.
And by the way, a little relationship trick that I learned decades ago when studying relationship coaching is the way we're sitting here like this, side to side on a couch, is really, really useful when there's like a sticky, tricky, difficult topic that's kind of causing challenge in the relationship. If you can physically get the two of you shoulder to shoulder, like you're on the same team physically, and you look at the challenge way out on the other side of the room, as if you're watching it on a large screen TV, and you depersonalize it from the two of you, and you put yourselves in a little happy love bubble, like white lightened dolphins, just like the relationship is protected in this bubble of love. And then you take a look at the problem outside of the relationship, like two members discussing the relationship, which does not sound like you did this. It sounds more depersonalized, like, this is causing trouble. What can we do to fix it together? That is a way, way better strategy than this physical, confrontational, face-to-face. Just because I know most of you are listening, but if you are seeing us on camera, Devin and I are sitting side by side, kind of cuddling on the couch as a team. That's a very good physical place to be for those difficult conversations about the relationship. Again, make yourself a team, surround yourself with a bubble of love. Imagine white light and dolphins is always nice. And the conflict is outside the two of you, and the two of you are working it out together. And there's no you did or your fault language. There's more I'm feeling, this is challenging, what can we do? Ladies, men love to solve problems. Let him solve or attempt to solve a problem. Is that correct?
And ladies or men, ladies don't like their problems solved. So learn to ask.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, like, that's one of my favorite things about you.
Yeah, you just say things like, are you okay? Are you ready to listen to Boy Brain now? And if the answer is no, get out of the room. Just move on. You don't have to fix it. Fix it later.
Well, what I like that you say is, do you want me to just listen or do you want Boy Brain?
Right.
And then I get to decide.
Yes, then you get to decide.
Because one thing for women is sometimes we just need to get it out. We need to dump it. We just need somebody to like hold the basket while we dump the feelings so that we can de-escalate ourselves. And then we may actually know the answer. And you can be a hero, guys, by just holding the basket while we dump.
Right. And as guys, no guy wants to do that. Nobody. I don't want to do that. But it just solves a lot of problems by just like, again, do you need me to listen? Or can I offer Boy Brain? When I say Boy Brain, that just means solving it. Like if I had a problem and I called up a guy friend of mine, I'm not looking to dump, other than this is what's happening. Do you know how to fix it? So we don't dump in the same way, at least in general. Again, we're all sort of like on our own sort of spectrum of where we are. But, you know, in general, I'm not looking to dump per se. What I'm looking to is I'm looking to kind of hear myself say it so I know what the solution is, or I'm looking to say it so I can hear somebody else tell me what the solution is, because that's what I want. I want to get the answer so I don't have to deal with the problem longer than I need to.
And we women frequently find the answer just by talking it out, emptying it out. We can figure out actually how we feel about something just by the process of the venting and the dumping. So back to choosing, and really focusing on why you choose and what you love about the person. It can help sometimes to go back to like what you originally fell in love with. And, you know, the reason we keep getting married is we keep consciously choosing and renewing the relationship and the newness. Also, picking new countries and having a new experience is great, great for any love relationship. It just, you know, wakens up the endorphins and it's makes you feel alive. So novelty is always a really good ingredient for keeping a relationship fresh and juicy. And speaking of novelty, Devin, you had something you wanted to discuss today about new things.
Oh, right. Okay. So this falls along the line. This, you know, apparently,
smooth transition, wasn't that?
I guess. Yes, thank you. So here's what I was thinking. And apparently this was long after Morgana had already, like, this is the show that we're doing.
After I asked you what you wanted to do.
Well, okay, but I didn't think of it until minutes
right.
ago.
Okay.
So during this whole pandemic thing, right, as a very middle-aged guy, I started doing things that I wouldn't normally do. Some of it had to do with music. A lot of it had to do with technology. And so I was doing all that stuff. And, you know, as a musician, I wanted to be better. And there were certain things that I just thought, oh, I can't do that. I decided, made that decision a long time. I couldn't do certain things. And all of a sudden, I'm finding I can actually do those things. So, you know, I've been always looking into Spanish and playing music. And literally, like, I started playing the banjo again, the mandolin. And there's guitars littered up. We're surrounded by guitars right now. No, no, don't touch a thing. Don't, no, you're not even allowed to. Don't even look at it. Don't even look at it. Right. But so if there's guitars, we're actually sort of like in kind of the back wall of where I record a lot of music. And I know we joke about guitars all the time, but it's kind of one of the things that's kept me sane. And so I thought all of a sudden I'm realizing how is it that I can make headway in a new subject, a new thing? Like, is, you know, all of a sudden I'm finding I had all this extra time. I'm not the only person. How do I fill that time with something that's just not binge watching television? And not to suggest there isn't like a space for that.
We do that too.
Yeah, we do that too. But there's stuff that, like, ooh, I want to accomplish this thing. I want to be better at that thing. And so how do I do it? Long story short, I've actually been getting better at the things that I've been setting out to do. And I was thinking today, well, what is it exactly that I've been doing that might be useful to other folks? You know, I'm one of those people that have moved from, I have too many interests. I have too many interests. So, but I've always spent a fair amount of time moving from one interest to the other and frequently accomplishing things that I never thought that I could because I went and did it anyway. And so I wanted to kind of give you my little short list in this green notebook, which we may not have time to get through because I'm long-winded and Morgana is going to chime in and then, you know, there we go.
But maybe we can get through one half of one thing on your
No ethics. Cheating.
Okay.
No cheating. So number one is lose the mindset that you can't. And I would argue that may be the most important thing. It's like when I get caught into something, there's a piece of my brain that says, you're not going to be able to do it. No chance. There's no way. And that happened just the other day. I learned a piece of music that I've been thinking about learning for 20 years. And all of a sudden, it's like in a couple hours, part of it was like, I'm good enough now that I can just do it. That's what I was telling myself. And so really the only shift was, you know, maybe I've gotten technically better, but all of a sudden it's like, okay, it's for the first time I was actually saying, okay, I can do this. And so you can too. And I think part of it just has to do with the mindset of how you do it. But so here are some other things that you start doing. And they're little things. They're all little tiny things that when you start doing them all told will get you into this place. Okay. And I've been seeing it over and over and over again over the last, over the last year and a half. I mean, certainly my whole life, but in the last year and a half. So number two, immerse yourself. And by the way, of course, my lovely wife will jump in whenever she, when the mood strikes her.
Oh, no, I wouldn't think of it.
No, I know. So immerse yourself. And probably one of the things that I think about is that put yourself into system. Watch all the videos, watch all the things, start taking a chance and doing it. You know, when I was sort of like teaching myself Spanish, which is still pretty bad, but it's gotten far better than, you know, when I'm working at it. So part of it is when I do that, like I go to more stores that I know Spanish people are working at, and then I'll try to converse with them in Spanish. Like if I go like to a Mexican restaurant, as an example, I will do my best to order and have the entire conversation in Spanish. And usually they'll try to interrupt me and speak English because their English is far superior to my Spanish.
But people also like it when you try to speak their language.
I think so. But I also think that if you are a beginner and you're enthusiastic about your beginnerness, going to an expert, so it's not just Spanish, it's anything, right? If somebody were to come up to me and say, oh my God, I want to learn about guitars, or I want to learn about, you know,
travel writing.
I'm happy to help you because I'm passionate about those subjects. So I want to help you. I want to help you get to whatever that next level is, where you start seeing the results, where you feel self-esteem and enthusiasm, and that enthusiasm is paying dividends, even if it's small things. So, you know, I surround myself with people who know the subject. I surround myself with videos. I watch the videos on music and Spanish. And right now I'm watching the most ridiculous, fantastical Spanish language novella. It's mind-boggling. I can't even believe it.
What is it called?
Oh my gosh, I can't even remember. It's some sort of like Passion of the Hawks, I think. And basically, it's the story where the sister falls in love with this married guy, and the married guy gets run over by a jeep of drunken guys. And just as she finds out she's pregnant, and so she goes, she confronts the family, and the family berate her, and she is so forlorn, she throws herself off a bridge. But, okay,
is that
horrible.
Just the pilot?
Yeah, that's like episode one. Then what happens is the three brothers who are mourning the sisters know that the family is to blame. So they go undercover as bricklayers. I don't even know how this happens, to destroy the family. But part of it is, not surprisingly, of the family that they're seeking revenge on has three beautiful daughters.
What are the odds
that the three, and by the way, these three brothers are about as good looking as three guys could possibly be. And of course, the villainous mother of this whole show has given birth to the three most beautiful women.
Okay. And so that's, what was the point?
There was no point. I just wanted a timeout. No, the point was, is that this is a great way to immerse yourself. In other words, you have this access. What I do is I kind of switch back between English and Spanish subtitles, and then I watch the show in Spanish. And for the Spanish part, I will listen and piece together what I can, what I know, and then I'll go back and listen for things and try to translate it and learn more of the Spanish that way. Like, I'll let that just sort of roll over me. And you can do that, I have found, with all kinds of things, with learning. So that's number two. Are we ready to go to number three?
Number three. Want to include?
All right, number three is a dual. It's like 3A and 3B. 3A, by the way, this we might be able to, what time is it? Oh, 10 minutes, no chance. Okay, so 3A is do it consciously, which has to do with practicing things. We'll talk about that in a minute. And 3B is do it unconsciously. In other words, when you're trying, focus, you can only do so well for a limited amount of time before you're just like, I'm done. But the unconsciousness, like you can have the thing playing in the background. You know, if you want to be a musician, you can be playing music all day long, just so you're hearing it. So you're sort of like unconsciously training your ear to hear the timbre and how things move. And so, you know, to be a painter, you don't necessarily have to be just like, I'm going to focus on this brushstroke. You can be focusing on sort of just being around the art and allowing other people's
let your subconscious solve problems.
Absolutely.
I'm going to come up with my own number four because it's my turn.
Okay.
And I'm going to rule
all
of your numbers. Not anymore.
All right. This is upsetting. What's your number?
Number four is be willing to suck.
Oh, that's a good one. I did not.
I would say, yeah, embrace sucking. And by the way, this is the gift of age. Like I was such a perfectionist when I was young. I was this ballerina. I was so just terrified of making a mistake or not being perfect. And what is so nice and makes life so much more enjoyable is the freedom to do things and be terrible, because who are we impressing? So like dancing. Oh, we have a caller.
Do we?
Pauline on line 12.
Oh, 12. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, guys. I finally got
welcome,
to see
Pauline.
You in the TV video. Hi.
Not
can you hear
hearing
me?
Pauline.
Yeah, I'm hearing her. Pauline, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. So
I hear you
that
now.
I got to see your faces on the TV. I was not able to connect before, but I finally got a chance to connect. I have called in the past, but I also want to make a comment because you were just saying how you try to speak the people's language and all that. Well, one solution was I had a boyfriend who didn't speak English, and I spoke Spanish from high school, and so when I lived with him, it just immersed. I mean, I tried to speak as much Spanish, but he definitely spoke Spanish constantly, and I was immersed in everything. And this was in America. It wasn't like I had to go to another country.
Right.
Just that, you know, an immigrant. So they spoke it constantly. And the music immersed. I remembered all my Spanish, but I never remembered the grammar part, but I do remember a lot. I could understand almost everything.
And did it help you? Did the immersion, just by rote of being with your boyfriend, did it just help dramatically?
Yes, but I actually want to hear something funny. The first time we spoke, I spoke to him on the phone for hours in English. He all of a sudden was able to speak English because of me, yakking away at him for hours in English. He was just not, you know, secure in his English, but my speaking constant English to him helped him just not feel so self-conscious. Because he was a very brilliant man. He's just not, you know, familiar with this country. I mean, he's like, he's had a PhD in his country, but he just didn't have the English down. And when he finally heard me speak to him for hours on end, I was all night long talking to him in English, that he was able to pick it up. Like I was able to pick up my Spanish from when I learned it from high school.
You know, in terms of language, I just remember seeing a pharmacist in Mexico, and when I was speaking with him, he had no accent whatsoever, none. Like he had no English accent. He obviously spoke Spanish. He also spoke English fluently with no accent. And I said, "Oh well, when did you live in the United States?" And he goes, "Oh, I've never been." And I'm like, "Well, how is that possible? You speak absolutely like a native." And he's like, "Oh yeah,
probably
no, I watched
it. I think we have
well, that's
in us.
Certainly think it's possible, but what he said was he just watched television. He'd come home from school and he sat and watched television. And he said he just over periods of years, he picked it up and then he started having conversations with people. And by then, you know, I guess the language, because he started when he was young watching these, you know, these television shows, he just got the language really perfect in his ears.
Novella's another way, and then music. I listen to the music, and it's so beautiful. You could figure out what they're talking about when they're singing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You can usually, for me, you know, and I didn't want this to be about Spanish per se, but usually I know enough Spanish where I can piece together like enough words here and there to get the sentiment. And this is true in music and the novellas, of course, which are fantastic. And then the news.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I have to say, learning it from a lover sounds like the funnest way to learn a new language. Too bad that option's not available to Devin anymore.
No, it's not.
Well, you could do that, you know, role play. You could be, you know, whatever language you want to.
Devin, you can teach me
Spanish. I'll work on it, I suppose. Yeah.
Okay, no, I wanted to share something about when I called once before. I believe I asked. I was trying to get back together with my twin flame. Okay, it's getting closer. And you guys made the suggestion because he was afraid of my husband because he had been hurt by another person's ghost a male ghost. And pushed him off a ladder, and this time he was like really concerned that if he was ever to step foot in my apartment ever, he wanted to get the blessing, and I did finally get it recently, actually. So, and after that, he sort of said, "Let's meet," and it's been like it took him a few more years to get it together, but now he's got, you know, more problems with his family, so we're not meeting yet, but. It's getting there, and we'll probably be doing all these weddings like you do. I love that you do so many weddings. I love just getting married and married, you know, like you do.
I don't think there's a downside, Pauline, that's
like a renewal every year or however you want to get married. Yeah, in every place that you are.
Whenever we leave the country.
We're both ministers. We can marry each other. We don't even have to get legally done.
No, I love that.
No, you don't. I mean, here's the thing. Listen, my general thing is you get married for reasons that help your taxes or something like that. But I think really a relationship is about the two people and their dynamic and their commitment to each other. And I don't think, you know, you necessarily need it. But I mean, if someone were to get sick, it would help to make sure that you could see them while they were in the hospital, as an example.
I felt that it made a difference. Not the legal part of it. We were getting married, I think, for a year. And I think we already had maybe 13 weddings before we did get the legal piece of paper. I was feeling after about a year like, okay, I think this is going to work out. I'm feeling a little safe. You know, I was 47 already before I got, you know, before our first ceremony.
You were how old? I'm just teasing.
I was 48. Surprise! I was 48 when we legally got married.
And he's 71. So we're in our, and you know, not whatever the end there.
It's nice. You make better choices.
Right. And this time will be the last time. And just that I think that to declare your love over and over is the most beautiful, grateful gratitude. And it will make the relationship new always.
Mm-hmm. I completely, well, you know that we agree with you, Pauline.
And yes, of course. Are you guys going to ever do a group wedding? Like other people want to join you at whatever wedding you're going to plan for the next?
Well, you know, honestly, we did a wedding with a friend of mine that did not go over well. However, that said, I mean, honestly, yeah, I think we would probably do another one again. I don't see why not. I mean, it would just depend on our schedule. Probably depend on a whole slew of things, but I imagine that once we start traveling in earnest again to like specifically get married, you know, we'd probably announce it, hey, we're coming to such and such, and if somebody wants to get married with us, you know, the more the merrier.
Come on over.
Let's check it out. So
You didn't ever get married by the moon? Hey, wait, did you guys ever get married by the moon? You know, the Moonies?
No, not yet.
At the hotel in Boston when they did that.
That's not on my bucket list.
Yeah, no, I know what she's talking about.
I don't want to see her, but I thought that was funny. That would be one way, right. That would be interesting.
No, the Moonies, I think, had like a tradition where they would like marry 10,000 people at the same time.
That's not my thing.
That's not the same. I know. It's not very romantic as far as I can.
Getting married on the moon, maybe, but.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Right?
In the giant suit. Bouncing
well,
around.
Thank you for letting me call in. It was really nice to reconnect
with you guys. Oh, so nice to hear from you.
Yeah, really great that you reached out, Pauline. Thanks so much for, and you know, please, when you finally meet your guy.
Let us know.
Yeah, call back in and let us know how it went.
I will. We're still working through some stuff. I know all our past life issues and why it didn't work out. And it's just very interesting. He's not interested in knowing, but I found it fascinating. I can't wait to write a book on this.
You should.
It's
totally
really important.
Because people need to hear our truths.
By the way, there's a new app on iPhone and Android called Clubhouse. It's an audio only app. And Devin and I co-host a room every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. called Podcasting for Authors, where we talk about books and book writing and being on podcasts, hosting your own. So if you're like dabbling with thinking about writing a book, anybody who's listening, any Sunday at 10 a.m., it's all people who love books and are also into podcasts, like what you're listening to right now. Sound good?
Wow. I really am going to try to come on the next 10 o'clock is perfect. I don't have anything important on 10 o'clock. That's important.
Excellent. Okay.
Okay, great.
So thank you so much for joining us. Mwah. Have a great evening.
Take care, Pauline.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Okay, so first off, it was great chatting with Pauline, and I do hope that she reaches out to us when she finally meets her guy. That would be great. But somehow, because now we're down to 2 minutes, and not surprisingly, we didn't get past number four. But four is a great start. So what that means is I'm going to save these last five tips, giving us a total of 10. Our next five tips for our next episode when we're not going to be.
We'll have a guest next week.
Okay, good. Do we know who that is?
Yes. And
do we want to say who it is?
No.
Okay. All right.
But it's a really, really cool guest. And then in 2 weeks, it'll be back to just us. Call us in, chat, ask questions, pour your heart out.
We're all for it.
We're here for you.
Yes.
We want to know what's going on with you. And
in the meantime, I have this green book. So I'm going to put
it. Green book.
I'm going to put it in a very safe place.
Where you'll never find it
Where
again.
Where I will never find it. And then we'll be sitting here and Morgana will be like, she'll be horrified by that. She'll be having those like 5 to 7 things and they'll be like, why can't he just keep track of his stuff?
Right.
And then I'll be something.
And your man cave is the entire downstairs. We have the guest bedroom, but that's not enough. So you take over the living room, but that's not enough. But you take over the dining room. It's a good thing. I really, really love you.
I am so glad that I have this whole downstairs
to rub in my face.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So what else?
So we'll be back next week, 5 p.m. Pacific time, BBS Radio. And in the meantime, please head over to crazysexymidlifelove.com. Look at all of our weddings. And then we also had 30 days of love traipsing through Europe 2 years ago, getting married in a bunch of places. Watch the trailer of our first 11 weddings that Devin edited that's super cute. And download Devin's ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men, and join our Crazy Sexy Midlife Love Club and just have a crazy sexy midlife loving life. Mwah.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.